Wisconsin's three-year-old voter ID saga took another twist last night when the U.S. Supreme Court blocked the law from being implemented during this November's elections.
That means that as the law stands, Wisconsin residents will not need a photo ID to vote on November 4th. Wisconsin's Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen has said he will continue to try to implement the law during the next 3.5 weeks.
Wisconsin's voter ID law was upheld by the 7th District Court in Chicago 4 weeks ago today in a decision that took less than a day of deliberation. They also later approved it as constitutional. Also last night, a federal judge in Texas overturned that state's new voter ID law. Here to break down how these decisions were made and what's next is Central Times legal affairs correspondent Kimmy King. She's an assistant professor of political science at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, welcome back so soon.
No worries. Glad to be back. And for all of you listening out there, support public radio.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, the courts are keeping us busy here. And I should point out on the air a few weeks back, you predicted that the U.S. Supreme Court would block Wisconsin's law being implemented. What made you think that? Correctly,
well,
as it turns out.
It's partly understand that it's a function of the timing and also the level of the right involved. Voting is considered to be a fundamental right. And the closer you get to the election day, and if there is concern that fundamental rights are going to be denied, the more closely the court is going to scrutinize what exactly is going down.
So that was the reason for this stay, though they didn't explain it in their one-page decision. They didn't actually spell out what you just did, I don't think.
No, they're not, because one of the other things is that I think the court here is being a little reluctant in making a rush to judgment. Recall that the court has had a couple of instances in the past with prior precedent to consider the voting rights law and whether or not ultimately the voter ID laws are upheld or ultimately struck down. That hasn't been resolved just yet. The question in both the Texas case and the Wisconsin case is, can you put them in place so close to an election? And both out of Texas and in Wisconsin, the courts have said, not just yet.
So the ultimate decision isn't made, but some people are looking at this U.S. Supreme Court decision staying the law or removing the stay. I've lost track. It won't be in effect.
Removing the stay. That's correct.
Thank you. But they've looked at this decision as saying, hey, this means the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court might take this up, the constitutionality of this particular voter ID law. They might take it up in the future.
Oh, absolutely. And remember that to all those people who are rushing to declare a victory against voter ID laws, not so fast. I want to refer you back to a decision in Crawford versus Marion County Election Board. It's a 2008 decision in which you saw a plurality opinion. And all a plurality opinion means is that the court is badly divided. And you had three different blocks of three justices looking at a voter ID law in the Seventh Circuit involving y'all out of Indiana. And three of the justices that are sort of more moderate and swing voters on the bench aligned with three more conservative justices on the bench to say that you can't just simply say that the justification for a voter ID is invalid because it might disproportionately harm minority or, you know, persons who are poor, those voters. What the court said in that case, however, and so even though they allowed that, you know, voter ID to go forward, one of the things they did indicate by three of the moderate justices who might be able to pull a block with the more liberal justices was that the outcome might be different in another voting rights case if you could show that there were rights that could be violated. And here you clearly had this issue because the absentee ballots went out and it didn't have the voter ID requirement. In essence, when the Seventh Circuit came in and said we're going to allow the voter ID law to go forward, it created confusion in the run-up to the election. Now what are you going to do? State officials, your state officials had indicated that if you didn't provide the proof of your voter identification and you'd already sent in your absentee ballot, you were going to have to provide that or else your vote would not count. And so in the face of that, the Supreme Court just has basically said, hold on, not so fast. There will be time enough to consider this. when we look at it, and I think they're most definitely going to look at it, I think they're going to consolidate a bunch of the cases out there around the country and look hard and long at these cases. When we look at it, we're going to look more closely at the interests that are put forward by the state and the interests by the persons that are being put forward claiming that they're going to be disenfranchised.
Now, you'd mentioned that case in Indiana. That's the one that the Supreme Court had decided. And the appeals court, in looking at the Wisconsin case, cited that as saying, hey, the Supreme Court has decided this, so lower court justices, you can't correct the Supreme Court. This is a done deal. But because the Supreme Court, you're saying, left open that window, you could prove harm, that's something they
might
consider again.
And basically, it's the difference between a law on its face and a law as applied. I'm going to turn you now to the Texas case. So in the Texas case, you got to get a voter identification. Texas has claimed concerns about voter fraud. Although one of the things that's going to be really interesting in all of these cases is the extent to which the state can actually show voter fraud. That's going to be very important. But what convinced the federal district judge down here to stay the Texas case was because, sure, getting the voter ID itself was free, but in order to get the voter identification, you had to provide certain documents. Those documents could include a birth certificate, they could include other things, but that created a minimal cost, anywhere from $3 to $22, depending on the kind of documentation you provided. And because you had to pay a fee for that, it created a concern that this is, in essence, a de facto poll tax. You are charging, you know, groups for this identification. And remember, the poll taxes, before they were abolished and declared illegal in the 1960s, ran about like $1.50 that you had to pay in order to be able to vote. And so our federal judge down here struck down the Texas law because of the costs associated with getting the documents to get the voter ID.
Is that going to be peculiar to Texas, or is that similar enough to other voter ID laws that could go to the Supreme Court and ultimately derail voter ID nationwide?
I think that you have a multiplicity of issues that are going to be involved in a number of these voter ID cases, and also just in general in voting restriction cases. Remember that in Ohio and North Carolina, we've also had appeals courts block, or they basically restored some voting restrictions, but those were a little different. That was Ohio early voting, and in North Carolina, it involved same-day registration. So what the critical concern is going to be for the court in consolidating all of these cases is, what standard do we use for evaluating the state's interest in trying to implement restrictive provisions? Keep in mind, there have been series of other cases where the Supreme Court has said, federal government, you don't get to just come in and say, because, say, for example, Texas discriminated 40 years ago, you get to approve every plan that comes down out of the state of Texas. So they've made it easier for the states to be able to place restriction on voting rights. I would suggest that what's really happening here is that the court is a little bit divided about, okay, just because we said the federal government couldn't regulate so heavily the states in terms of voting rights, that doesn't mean it's like open season for the states to be able to enact whatever restrictions they want to. In short, it's a new day in the Supreme Court because of the decisions giving the states greater freedom to enact voting restrictions, and now the court is wanting to weigh in and do so slowly and do so carefully.
Kimmy, thanks as always for being with us today.
You betcha. You take care. Support public radio, folks.
Thanks.
Bye.
We've been speaking with Central Time legal affairs correspondent Kimmy King of the University of North Texas about last night's decision by the Supreme Court to block Wisconsin's voter ID law for this upcoming election in November. Also last night, a federal judge overturned Texas's voter ID law.